You are entering the Royals Podcast Network.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
Belted to left field. Billy comes through tonight. Splash!
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm Troy. I'm joined by Mike, of course. And once again, we bring in a very special guest of ours that's going to take us right up to the end, because we know when we get Bob Kendrick of the Negro League Baseball Museum on, you don't need to talk about anything else, because Bob's going to fill the time just fine for you. Bob Kendrick has been leading the Baseball Museum, the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City for a while now. I do have one question for you right off the top here, Bob. Kind of recap what the All-Star season was like for the Negro League Museum. Did everything come together as you guys had hoped, and did the museum get all the exposure you had hoped for?
And then some. You know, Troy, we're still feeling the residual impact of that All-Star game almost 2 years removed, and so it really was a godsend for the Negro League Baseball Museum. The timing could not have been better. And we're very proud of the way of how we orchestrated the events and activities that we put together in conjunction with the All-Star Game being in Kansas City. It led us to our greatest month of August in this organization's history. You know, so we were really able to parlay it into tremendous support for the museum. We opened our doors to people from around the globe as a result of the All-Star Game. And like I said, we're still feeling the impact as people are now starting to plan trips to see the museum just because they saw us profile so greatly, you know, from various media outlets over those 5 days of All-Star festivities in Kansas City. So it has had an amazing impact and certainly one of the most monumental events in recent museum memory, truthfully.
And I've taken tours with Bob at the museum, and they're one of a kind. If you happen to ever be lucky enough that he's happens to be walking through as you're working through the museum, you'll learn things that you can't learn by just seeing the museum, which is awesome in and of its own right. I mean, there's just so much there, from a donation, and I always forget who it's from, but a donation of baseballs that scan every player you can ever think of that played for the Negro Leagues, and so much other stuff, jerseys and cutouts that show exactly what the Negro League players would go through, and barbershops, and it's just a really neat experience to go through. And we've been, you know, fans of the Negro League Museum for years, and we've had Bob on this show since pretty much we started. And so it was so exciting to see you all over TV. And like you said, you were on a lot of different outlets, and it just seemed like every time you turned around, somebody was talking to Bob Kendrick at the All-Star Game. Now, you've parlayed that, you've had a lot of great business, and what we brought you on for today, I know one of the primary reasons at least is last year, based on a fan's idea, Dress to the Nines come alive, and it's a major part of the Royals promotions this year. And that's so cool, because it's bringing back to the old days of baseball when fans would go to church and they would cut church short, which was a big deal in the Negro community back then. They'd cut church short and everybody'd go out and watch baseball games for a few pennies or whatever it happened to be. And now the Royals have embraced Dress to the Nines, and we're hoping to see that go all the way across. And I'm going to let Mike take it from here, but there's just so much that's come out of this cool, and it's so cool to see the Negro League Museum a part of it. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Dress to the Nines is kind of the big thing. I've been involved with some of the people, and, you know, just kind of bouncing ideas off of them, and they bounce them off of me. But the big key in this, Bob, is what you guys do at the Negro League's Baseball Museum. I mean, did you think that this would get to this kind of scope, to where the Royals would bring it in as this, you know, a key spring promotion?
Well, you know, I certainly hoped it would, because I thought the idea was so good, because it is wonderful in its simplicity. And, you know, the guys who approached me about this notion of doing a day to pay tribute to the Monarchs and their fans, who, as Troy touched upon, would oftentimes lead church on Sunday, and they would start Sunday service early. Now, if you know anything about the black church, you don't miss the service time. But when the Monarchs were home, they were so popular that black churches would move their service time up an hour. And so fans literally left church dressed to the nines, going to watch their beloved Kansas City Monarchs play. And so that was the spirit in which this idea kind of originated, and I just thought it was absolutely brilliant. Could we convince modern-day baseball fans to put on their Sunday best, one game out of the season, to go out and celebrate and make baseball fashionable again? And so this idea kind of took root last year in a social media campaign, and it was just so cool to see the group of people who came out. You know, we did this, you know, we were tweeting and doing these kinds of crazy things, trying to get the attention of folks and see if they would do it. And all of a sudden, this thing started to really take footing. The Royals noticed what we had done. They embraced the idea, and then this year built it into their promotional schedule. And as you guys know, they're giving away 10,000 fedoras to the first 10,000 fans on May 18th for this year's Dress to the Nines celebration. We think we've got something, guys, that can actually take off and become duplicated and replicated league-wide, you know, because it's just such a cool idea. And so I'm excited about it. I think this thing has tremendous potential. The guys are working so hard to make this thing be a success. And, you know, Brad and all the guys who kind of worked on this project, they have done a tremendous job. It's exciting to be a part of something that I think has the potential to be big.
Representatives from other teams come into contact with you about, you know, kind of how you helped them pull this off, or have they bounced ideas off of you about, you know, events like this that they want to do and, say, Chicago or Baltimore or any of those other cities that, you know, had some of the original Negro Leagues baseball teams?
Well, you know, I think that's what we're seeing. You know, last year we got quite a bit of media attention on a national level for what we were able to do. And, you know, and Brett Parker, Brad Belden, and Liz Belden, you know, these are the young people who came to me with the idea. And, you know, I just embraced it, and, you know, I got a lot of attention for, I guess, the museum's involvement, but they're the ones who really deserve the credit for creating this concept. And, you know, and that's why I think it has opportunity to be replicated, because, you know, they didn't only dress up in the Negro Leagues, they dressed up for Major League games as well. And so this was a part of baseball tradition because it was the era of dress. You know, you went looking good no matter where you went. Baseball games were no exception. As I mentioned, it was certainly a big part, though, of the Negro Leagues, because Major League Baseball early on didn't play on Sundays. The Negro Leagues would rent the ballpark, play their Sunday doubleheader, and we left church dressed to the nines. So, you know, it's just a brilliant concept. It is easy to duplicate. We're adding some different dimensions to make it even bigger. And again, the kids who organize this really want to see this, you know, not only be a symbolic tribute, but putting in mechanisms to help raise money in support of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. So it's an awareness effort, but it's also an opportunity to generate funding support for the museum, too. And so, you know, we wholeheartedly embrace this effort. And I'm looking forward to putting on my Sunday best and being there with everybody else on May 18th.
And that's the challenge. You got to outdress Bob on this event. So that's going to be a tall order for a lot of people. Now, this isn't the only thing that you have on your schedule this season. I know that there's the Curtis Flood Symposium coming up. There's the Hall of Game inauguration coming up as well. You know, tell me about those two things.
Well, and even one before that, because we just added to the docket a celebration of Jackie Joyner Kersee. Jackie Joyner Kersee will be here at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum on March 27th to talk about her illustrious career as part of our Black Women in Sports series. And of course, Jackie Joyner Kersee is arguably the greatest all-around female athlete in sports history. She overcame tremendous obstacles on her path to earning that title. And so she'll be here to share her story in a very candid, up-close and personal conversation beginning at 7 p.m. on March 27th here at the museum. It's free for students and free for NLBM members, museum members, and it's just a $10 admission, which is the price of admission for the general public who's not a member, but that also includes a trial one-year membership to the museum as well. And so we hope folks will come out to meet this legendary sports figure. But yes, and then on March 30th and 31st, we have a two-day symposium on the legendary Curt Flood. And as you guys know, man, Curt Flood, unfortunately, is almost an afterthought in baseball history, and he shouldn't be. First and foremost, Curt Flood was a great center fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, it was once said that the earth was covered, three-quarters covered by water. Curt Flood covered the rest of it because he could flat-out play center field. And of course, he's remembered for his failed effort to try and reverse baseball's reserve clause. Refusing to be traded to the Philadelphia Phillies, took his case all the way to the Supreme Court, lost, killed his career, but changed the game of baseball because that is what really opened the door for free agency in baseball. And so we're going to take a two-day legal look at Curt Flood's case. And so there are a number of people who were actually involved with the case who will be here. Curt Flood Jr. will be here to discuss his dad's life and the importance of his life, not only in baseball, but beyond baseball. And so really excited about this particular program and hoping that it will open up an even larger base for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And then, as you mentioned, Saturday, April 12th, the inaugural Hall of Game ceremonies. And the Hall of Game honors former Major League Baseball players who played the game the way they played it in the Negro League. So the criteria here was you played it with passion, you played it with determination, you obviously played it with high skill, but you also played it, as young folks say, with a little swagger. You had to have a little swag, a little flair if you were going to play in the Negro League. And so our inaugural class of inductees are Lou Brock, Joe Morgan, Dave Winfield, and the late, great Roberto Clemente, who will be represented by his son, Roberto Clemente Jr. You know, I am absolutely giddy over this class of inductees. They each are uniquely connected to the Negro Leagues in their own way. You know, Roberto Clemente played with Negro League players in his native Puerto Rico, played on teams with them when the guys would come down and play winter ball. His idol was the great Monty Irvin. And Roberto Clemente would actually carry Monty Irvin's uniform to the ballpark in hopes of getting into the stadium free. And that was a common occurrence where the kids would carry their, you know, the players' uniforms because then they could get into the ballgame. But can you believe one of the greatest baseball players in the history of the sport carried the uniform of a legendary Negro Leaguer, Monty Irvin, who Monty Irvin was a superstar in the Negro League Hall of Famer. You know, he was old by the time he got to the major leagues and still had a great major league career. But Monty is the greatest living Negro League player at age 95 in Houston today. And so, you know, Roberto was connected to Monty Irvin in a very significant kind of way, and the Negro League were a big part of his life. You know, he was, you might recall, he was actually signed into the Dodgers organization before joining the Pirates, and the great Joe Black, who used to pitch in the Negro Leagues for the Baltimore Eli Giants and then later with the Dodgers, actually became Roberto's translator while he was there with in the Dodgers farm system in Montreal. And so, you know, there are these deep-rooted connections. Lou Brock, signed by the late, great Buck O'Neill, mentored by Cool Papa Bell. You know, Joe Morgan wrote his thesis, his college thesis, on the Negro League. And Dave Winfield has had an intimate relationship with Negro League players going way back. And each of them will tell you, in terms of Lou Brock, Joe Morgan, and Dave Winfield, the greatest compliment they ever received was from former Negro Leaguers who said, "You could have played with us." And that meant the world to them, and it means the world to us to be able to honor that specific group as part of our inaugural class of the Hall of Game ceremony.
That sounds great. Is that going to be a yearly program, or is it going to be just?
Yes, it will.
All right.
No, it will be an annual event. It takes the place of the old Legacy Awards, which we used to do, and we'll still hand out Legacy Awards, but we're not building a formal ceremony around them. So we came up with this concept of honoring former major leaguers, because I think it, guys, it gives us a much better opportunity to make sure that our honorees are here and present. With the major league athletes, it was getting increasingly difficult to get them to Kansas City, particularly in January. So it got us out of the winter time with that event into the beginning of baseball season and right around the Jackie Robinson celebration, because all of our honorees in future years will be those who played after the integration of the game was complete. And of course, as you know, that took 12 years, from 1947 to 1959, mm-hmm. before every major league team had at least one black baseball player. And so future honorees will all have played after the game was completely integrated.
That's everything that it's at least for the next couple of months at the Negro League Baseball Museum. But you don't need an event to go down there. I mean, Bob said, it's $10. I mean, you can find $10 easily just to go down there. It's, you know, it's, I always try to get down there once a year. It's always, you know, great to see something. I always learn something new every time I'm there. And if nothing else, you get to, you know, finish it off by being on the Field of Legends. And I think that's always pretty cool, too. So keep an eye out.
It's a special place.
Yeah, it really is. Keep an eye out for, on our Twitter, we're going to be helping push some of these things out there, especially get to Dress to the Nines. I think there's some special pricing that's supposed to be popping up for that as well, isn't that?
Yes, and we'll be sharing that here pretty soon. Some special ticket pricing that will benefit the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Mm-hmm. So, again, I want to thank the Kansas City Royals for making that possible and really embracing this entire concept of Dress to the Nines. And you know, again, I think all of us are being a part of something that has an opportunity to really go league-wide. And I think that's significant. And for that idea to emanate here in Kansas City and to be kind of originated from the spirit of the Negro Leagues, That means a great deal to us, and again, it's a great way to help people understand just how popular the Negro Leagues were and give them at least a baseline or elementary introduction to what the Negro Leagues were all about.
Well, Bob, I know that you're busy. We don't want to take up too much more of your time, but thanks for stopping in and giving us a little bit of what's coming up for the museum.
Hey, man, as always, I appreciate what you guys do to help promote Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and certainly look forward to seeing you all here soon.
Get out to the museum, Bob. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you in the near future.
Okay. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
You have been listening to a Royals Podcast Network presentation.